To thrive in today's competitive business environment, most business owners simply can't get around the fact that they must advertise. However, it's not always easy to know what the most cost-effective ways to advertise are. And making a mistake can quickly turn your marketing investment into an expense, reducing both your profits and the value of your company. In this edition of VR Audio White Papers, Peter King, VR Chief Executive Officer, and VR President Joanne Lombardi address this challenge through an interview with Tom Scott, business consultant, communication strategist, and the creator of the Profit Funnel System of Marketing. Through this interview, Peter and Joanne will help you understand what the Profit Funnel System of Marketing is and how you can create a system like this to predictably attract the right customers or clients time after time. Having sold more businesses in North America than anyone, VR is committed to being a valuable resource for our clients. In keeping with this commitment, VR developed these audio white papers to provide information that will enable you to consistently grow and improve. We hope you not only enjoy, but also profit from the following information.
Tom, let me start off with a tough question. You're a marketing guy, and our clients who are listening are primarily interested in buying or selling a business. Why would they be interested in listening to you and hearing about your profit funnel system?
I actually admire that question, Peter. In fact, one of the things that first impressed me about you and Joanne and the entire VR team was your dedication to VR's clients. The fact that you ask a question like that shows me that you're a great advocate for your clients, making sure to see things from their perspective and with their agenda. That mindset is one of the things that I believe makes VR's intermediaries so valuable as they guide clients through a merger, acquisition, or divestiture process. Now, so I'm not mistaken for a politician who never quite gets around to replying to the question that was asked, I'll answer you. Someone that is considering a divestiture of their business should be interested in this system for marketing because employing a predictable system for generating sales can significantly increase the value of their company, both short and long term. First, well-executed and cost-effective marketing increases profits. Additionally, the fact that it is completely systematic and predictable increases the value to a potential buyer. In other words, with a real marketing system in place, rather than estimating and projecting sales based on seasonality or percentage increases over the prior year's performance, a business owner can make fairly accurate projections based on the average yield they experience from their marketing investment.
I couldn't agree with you any more about the importance of systems. In fact, I love what Michael Gerber says in his book, The E-Myth. I'm paraphrasing here, but he says something to the effect of, systems enable ordinary people to achieve extraordinary results predictably. And I can tell you from seeing the purchase and sale of countless businesses, those companies that are systems-based versus personality-based are always more valuable. In these cases, the owners have simply created a track that anyone can run on.
So, Tom, what exactly is the Profit Funnel System of Marketing?
Well, Joanne, what I call the Profit Funnel System is simply an attraction marketing system that, when set up properly, will remove many steps in the sales process. This system requires prospects to figuratively jump through hoops to do business with you. In the end, not only do you often wind up spending far less on your marketing efforts, but you also generate a higher number of prospects that are already sold on doing business with you before they even talk to you. Now, the system works for all businesses, but it especially works for businesses that have a product or service that carries a mid-level price or above. That is, products or services that people have to think about before they purchase, not pure impulse items at the store checkout counter. I relate it to a funnel because rather than focusing on trying to get the attention of an entire bucket of water, we set up a system that is designed to pour some of that water directly into our funnel, where the majority of the water is up at the wide end, near the surface, but with the passing of time, the water flows down through deeper and deeper levels, where much less of the water is. This system is designed to deliver prospects who begin with you on a shallow level, but who quickly progress to a deeper and more profitable relationship with your company.
That sounds intriguing, Tom, but you didn't exactly say how you accomplished that.
You're right. To do that, I first need to explain a couple of foundational principles that this system is based on. The first principle is that people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. It's really true. When most people walk into a store and an employee asks if they want something, the answer is almost always an immediate, "No thanks, I'm just looking." Even if there really is something that you were wanting to purchase. And we sure don't want telemarketers bothering us. Conversely, however, if there's a new car, gadget, or gizmo that we're really into, we'll make a call, go online, visit a store, whatever it takes to get more information or to purchase it. The second foundational principle is that people are naturally risk-averse, and that's the problem with most advertising. It turns a lot of potentially good prospects off because it's always asking for the marriage before it asks for the date.
Wait a minute. Can you explain that last part a little further, please? What do you mean by asking for the marriage before asking for a date?
I'll explain this further with a true story from my own life. Now, you have to understand that as a creative type, I'm not altogether wired right. So take that into consideration when I tell you this. Now, when I was in college, I was blessed enough to meet the girl of my dreams. We were both in a production of West Side Story. Well, day after day, I watched her dance as one of the jet girls. Finally, I worked up the nerve to go talk with her. And would you believe the first words that came out of my mouth were, "Jody, will you marry me?" Needless to say, she looked at me very cautiously, as if I needed some serious psychiatric help. Well, always being fairly quick on my feet, I immediately scrambled for a drop close and said, "Well, maybe marriage would be rushing in a little too much. How about a date first?" At that point, next to marriage, a date with me must have seemed like the easy way out. So you're probably asking, what on earth does this story have to do with a profit funnel system thing? Well, the moral of the story is simply this. 16 years of marriage and 6 wonderful children later, I think it's safe to say that Jody was, in fact, a perfect fit for me. However, she would have been nuts to say yes to my initial proposal when I first asked. And frankly, I would be scared to be with a person that would have said yes at that point. But when we place ads that simply say, "Call us when you're in the market for a new hoosie wig," aren't we doing the same thing? Expecting a prospect to choose us before they've had any experience with us? This is what causes shopping around and price wars. If you wait till a prospect perceives the need for your product or service, they will shop around, comparing prices and features with your top competitors. I liken this to looking for love in a singles bar versus coming upon Ms. or Mr. Right during the normal course of your life, at the gym, at church, or somewhere else where you'd have a natural affinity for this person.
Okay, Tom, so we understand the principles. So in marketing, how would our VR clients actually apply these principles and create a system?
The simple application of these principles is this. We must remember that our prospective clients have that same risk avoidance when it comes to purchasing. No one likes to make a mistake or waste money or pick the wrong supplier. So the more we're able to date our prospects first by creating a very surface-level relationship, the more likely they are to want to deepen that relationship, provided, of course, your product or service is good. As my dad used to always tell me, nothing kills a bad product faster than good advertising. It simply speeds up the rate at which people find out you're no good to attract prospective clients and customers. You could use several different vehicles, from free trials, free evaluations, free consultations, low-cost samples, to free information in print, audio, or electronic format. Did you catch that? Again and again, I said free and low-cost. The point is to reduce the risk till they get to know you, like you, and trust you, and therefore, don't perceive a risk any longer.
How would our clients know which attraction device to use? Is there an exact formula for that?
Not really. The type of attraction device you would use depends on your product or service. If it is a product or service that has a unique selling proposition or clear competitive benefits that the prospects could be educated about, then I'd say go with information. An example of this might be a cosmetic dentist who has an online presentation that shows their unique, pain-free process to smile improvement, complete with before and after photos. Of course, they could also offer a free consultation, but they will not receive as much response because a prospective patient may feel like someone is going to try to sell them at the consultation. And of course, they would. Going with an informational approach in this scenario is like putting the bait on the hook, attracting them to your benefits before you attempt to hook them and reel them in. Another example would be a past client of mine who was a gelato manufacturer. Well, he was having no luck calling the different restaurants in the area, even offering them a great deal on his gourmet gelato. He was sending out mailers and calling almost every week and still did not make much progress. So I told him that we can cut out many of the restaurants on his list that wouldn't be likely to serve gelato and concentrate on the others, starting with all the Italian restaurants. I had him offer the restaurant owner a free 5-gallon container of his gourmet gelato, which he'd been previously offering for $25. In just that first test group of 9 local Italian restaurants, only one, who already had a gelato supplier they loved, rejected the free offer. And out of the 8 who did take advantage of the free offer, 5 became regular customers. Why? Because they were able to first prove to themselves not only that the product was good, but that their patrons would buy it. And as a super added benefit, when he did begin selling orders to them, he was able to charge $33 instead of $25 because the restaurant owners knew the profits they would still make on the product. Obviously, following this experiment, they began not only approaching other restaurants in the area, but also started contacting regional Italian restaurants within a reasonable shipping distance. After that, he licensed his recipes and marketing system to others in non-competing areas. Because of this system, he was able to build a mom-and-pop gelato company into a multi-million dollar operation that he later sold to a large national food services company.
This is really impressive. I love the fact that not only did he actually get more clients, but that he didn't have to offer his product at substantially discounted prices that he had been before. So it not only increased sales, but it increased his profits, I would imagine very substantially.
Tom, what are the different parts of the profit funnel system? Is there one way that is more particular than others? I'm thinking our VR clients could understand the benefit from it a little more if they could perhaps recognize what they've seen in the marketplace.
That's a great point, Joanne. The thing that's pretty similar about all profit funnel systems, or other attraction marketing systems, is that it's most often comprised of 3 basic parts. Number 1, advertising, either paid or free, in a particular medium. Number 2, a response device, a direct mail postcard, telephone number, usually toll-free, with a recorded message or web address where people can receive free information, which could be a report, white paper, CD, DVD, or even online presentation. Or it could even be something like a free consultation or free meal in the case of a restaurant. Number 3, a call to action within the response device, which will typically be a phone number or website the respondent can contact to set up an appointment or request the product or service you sell. Part of this as well is a follow-up system where you continue to contact someone who has requested your free information or low-cost entry product. You can then follow up with a call or a series of letters or emails in order to further develop your relationship with them. By using a multi-step system like this, you are actually getting your respondents to qualify themselves as real prospects. And though you may think that you're losing a lot of good prospects who won't take the time to do this, this is actually not true. The only ones you may be weeding out, so to speak, are the ones who would have been lukewarm towards you, or have to constantly be resold on why they're doing business with you. However, those who really want to do business with you will identify themselves, and these are exactly the sort of excited, on-fire clients that are the key to maximizing your business. Here's the fun part. Building an attraction marketing system like a profit funnel system becomes a machine that you can literally turn on and off. Once you have the system set up, you then do very little work. It's pretty much all automated.
I like the idea that using an attraction marketing system like this qualifies the prospects by making them take a couple of steps before they purchase. I can imagine if this was done with a direct sales company that had an in-home salesperson, they could really improve their closing ratio because the people they talk with would be pre-sold on the product or service before the appointment.
Absolutely. You know, Joanne, that's why I love marketing so much. The marketing dollars in a company are the most leveraged dollars there are. I mean, think about it. If I pay to place an ad in a newspaper, the ad costs the same, whether it generates 5 sales or 500. So marketing isn't just about doing the right things. It's about doing the right things the right way.
So, how would one of our VR clients get started in building a profit funnel system for their business?
I use 7 basic steps for creating a profit funnel system. Because I really emphasize making an emotional connection with prospects, I call this process marketing from the heart. In short, the 7 steps are: 1. Determine your market or markets. 2. Craft your market-focused message. 3. Select your market's appropriate media outlets. 4. Launch your multi-hoop marketing system. 5. Measure your results. 6. Maximize the outcome. 7. Maintain your new sales machine.
That's a good overview of the process. Now, can we go back through and talk about each one a little more?
Okay, let's start with 1. Determine your market or markets. This is where you get to know your intended audience and their wants and needs. Maybe even their fears, hopes, and desires. Look for connections with how your product or service might meet these emotional hot buttons. Is there a way your product or service fulfills their desires, satisfies their needs, or quells their fears? I advise that you use this information to craft a very brief mission statement for your market. This mission statement is for your own use in crystallizing your project mission in your mind. It's not intended to be communicated with your prospect.
How do you suggest developing the mission statement?
While mission statements can be very complex, the most effective ones are often very simple. In this case, simply use a formula like, I help blank, that's the who, to blank, that's the what, by blank, that's the how. For a realtor, this might be, I help homeowners to quickly and profitably sell their homes by aggressively utilizing proven marketing strategies. In some cases, you may serve more than one marketplace. That's fine. You can very effectively market to and serve several different markets. However, you'll find your efforts are most fruitful if your missions are tailored to each market individually. This will help them identify with what you can do specifically for them, and this is infinitely more important to them than simply what you do. For instance, let's say you're a financial advisor. If you haven't focused on your specific market, your mission would typically default to referencing features you normally offer through your service. An example would be, I offer complete financial planning and investment services. I help you determine your needs and will service you with whatever would be the most appropriate product to help you reach your financial goals. Now, see how much more effective it would be in working with this particular segment or niche market to have the mission, I help middle-aged people make a successful transition to their twilight years so that they can take more of their time for the things they really love to do and rest easy knowing that they can comfortably retire. The same financial advisor working with another market segment might adjust his mission to say, I help new graduates get on track to save for their first home and build a financial fortress that will give them any option they want for their life. The key here is that you are segmenting each market in your mind, and therefore you're treating each according to their individual wants and needs. This will be critical when you're developing the messages for the various markets you serve. By just applying this to their businesses, your VR clients will keep from falling into that try to be all things to all people trap. They will find easier sales and happier customers as they more readily identify with how they are there to serve each of them uniquely.
The next M in the process is message. Could you take a moment to explain that?
Sure, Joanne. The second step is the message step, where you craft the message and information that you will be using. Once you've created specific missions by examining each of your specific marketplaces, now you can craft a specific message tailored to each one. Each of these messages could be a free information product that you will be supplying to a prospective client or customer in order for them to qualify themselves for your attention. In most cases, I advise a separate free information product for each of the markets you've identified. One of the most common and practical forms for your message is a booklet. Relatively simple and inexpensive to produce, it gives you credibility and an authority status and serves as a valuable door opener and giveaway item.
Does it have to be a report or booklet?
Not at all. Your free information can be in the form of a report, white paper, CD, cassette, videotape, DVD, or even an online video or audio file. Whichever approach you choose as most appropriate for your markets, it needs to contain two key elements. First, this item should provide excellent information that helps to solve their problem or gain a desired benefit. Second, this free information needs to subtly persuade the reader as to why you offer the best product or service to solve his problem or gain a desired benefit.
How do you know what to write about and what the title should be?
The good news is that you don't have to be a world-class copywriter or advertising genius. This is why you've developed your mission for each target market, so you know what overall benefit you're going to deliver to them. The title and subtitle are very important. They are what will draw the potential prospect to them. Typically, the title should be short and punchy, with a longer and more descriptive subtitle. Do this in such a way that those you wish to target will be responsive to it. If you're a chiropractor, then a good title-subtitle combination might be No More Pain, 7 Secrets to Ridding Your Body of Discomfort Once and For All, providing, of course, that you can back up that title with correct information. A financial advisor might use the title Safe Wealth, followed by the subtitle 10 Secrets to Nearly Risk-Free Investing Most People Will Never Know, or something along those lines. Do you see how the title attracts and the subtitle explains while telling them just enough to elicit their wanting to know more? Titles or subtitles that have numbers in them followed by secrets are often effective, such as 7 Secrets to a Wealth in Real Estate. Another intriguing term is the word mistakes, followed by the solution. For example, 4 mistakes most people make when buying a car and how to avoid them. Of course, in place of a car, you would insert the word for whatever it is you sell. Refrigerator, heating system, home. You get the idea. Still, another intriguing term is myths, as in 10 myths most people believe about buying a widget that you should know. You could even add, and how they could be costing you a fortune.
How would our listeners go about coming up with report title ideas?
Think of it as writing a great headline. The rules are the same. The free report title has 3 primary functions. First, it identifies the audience you are speaking to. Ideally, the title should be written so that the person reading it could say, "This is for me." Next, it delivers the message. You have a problem or desire, and I have your solution. Lastly, it compels the audience to read the booklet in order to solve their problem or satisfy their desire. There are a couple of different standard report title formats that could easily be used for most any information product you would create.
Could you give us what the formats would be and perhaps a couple of examples as well?
The how-to title is one of them. The how-to title offers the reader the promise of a solution. If you sell automobiles, an example might be how to get the best deal on a car and still get all the features you want. This type of title is also strengthened by adding numbered steps. Applying this step to the example, we might create this compelling title. 8 steps to getting the best deal on a car while still getting all the features you want. One more thing that can make your title even more effective is the use of emotional words and phrases. Identifying that your information is secret or relatively unknown also makes the title more compelling. It might at first feel uncomfortable adding these elements because we've all been convinced into thinking that being professional means being starched and emotionless. But the reality is, stoic, grammatically correct language is not how people really speak, professional or not. So when someone actually reads titles that are intended to be professional, they often command about as much attention as an adult in a Charlie Brown cartoon. In reality, though many people, who wouldn't be your audience anyway, will snub emotional headlines and report titles as unprofessional, it works. The fact is, people buy based on emotions, and they use facts and intellect to justify their decisions. It doesn't matter what strata of society or how educated the person is. I've seen it work with CEOs and doctors just as well as it does for a less sophisticated prospect. The key is that the benefit that you're advertising must be compelling to the particular prospect.
But there's a balance, right? I mean, I've found you can certainly be emotional and sophisticated at the same time, haven't you?
Yes, definitely. In fact, there's an old advertisement that was written by one of the greatest advertisers of all times, David Ogilvy. It was an ad for Rolls-Royce that read, "At 60 miles an hour, the loudest noise in this new Rolls-Royce comes from the electric clock." Now, even though it is obviously for an upscale audience, Ogilvy didn't get caught up in the trying to impress his audience with great facts about the engineering of this car or use any intellectual arguments. No, he pushed the luxury button and he pushed it hard, but in a very sophisticated way. So now let's look at the report title we've been using after it's had this little emotional steroid therapy. Make your car dealer cry. 8 insider secrets for buying your dream car at such an incredible price, your spouse will think you stole it. Now, some might say that's a little over the top, but wouldn't you want to read it? The important thing here is to make sure that the promise of the information is never greater than the information itself. However, you may be surprised just how valuable your special knowledge is to someone who isn't in your industry. Imagine offering information with this title to potential customers. Wouldn't they want to read it and learn from you, an industry insider, how to get the best deal on their new vehicle? And wouldn't they most likely want to buy from you, the person who is willing to share these ideas with them?
That's great. You mentioned that there was another standard format that was easy to use. What would that be?
Another title format that can be very effective is the Reason Why title. For example, 6 reasons why you should review your life insurance policy today. While it's not nearly as compelling and as effective as the emotionally packed title we wrote for the car buyer's booklet, it can certainly be used to raise doubts or concerns that would cause a reader to want to know more. The Reason Why title is also very easy for even the novice to use. In the end, when it comes to writing compelling booklet titles, nothing takes the place of good old-fashioned hard work. Take the time to sit down and write a bunch of possibilities. I suggest you write at least 50. After examining the list you've just created, pick your 3 best and see if there is any way they can be combined or improved upon. The important thing is to not get lazy with this vital ingredient. It is far less expensive to spend the extra hour or two writing a better booklet title than to go with a mediocre one, place ads, and get only half the response you could have received. I also suggest visiting a bookstore or going online to check out titles you find intriguing. Titles that make you want to know more, and copy their format, adapting it to your information. In addition to having quality content with real information, make sure you also include several powerful testimonials from some of your happiest clients, either throughout the copy or at the very least in the call to action. The more testimonials, the better.
Okay, so in the process so far, we've identified our market and we've crafted the message. The next step you talk about is media. Are there particular media that are best overall to be advertising with?
That's a good question, but I really have to say no. Although some of the new media advertising can be very cost-effective, to say that there is a media that is the best for every type of company and marketplace would be like saying there is one place you could go to catch all types of fish. The fact is, some fish are freshwater fish, some are saltwater, some are cool temp fish, and some like it warmer. You get the idea. The most important factors of media selection are, first and foremost, do my prospects read, watch, listen to, or are exposed to this media? The second most important factor is the CPE, or cost per exposure. This is the dollar amount it costs to have your message exposed to one prospect via that particular medium. It's important to note here that not all circulation or broadcast figures are created equal. Be careful of local advertising companies that don't have audited circulation figures. These are typically the type that you see being dumped off, all bundled up, in front of a diner every week or month. And more often than not, they stay bundled until the next week's stack is distributed. For the best bang for the buck, I tend to like direct mail.
That's interesting. I was reading fairly recently that direct mail response rates have actually been on the rise lately.
Yes, it has. That's just one of the reasons I like it. Because of so many companies wanting to shift their marketing dollars to email and internet marketing due to the promise of cost effectiveness, there is less promotional mail going out, which has had a positive effect on the overall response rates of direct mail. The other reasons I love direct mail are because you only pay for the exact circulation you want. You can pinpoint target your message to the right audience for you, and you can really pull people into a more personal experience as they read your mail. Where other forms of advertising are, for the most part, interruptions to what your prospects are doing at the time, direct mail, if they choose to open it, is exactly what they're focusing on. So if you can connect with their interest, you have a captive, or at least captivated audience.
Now, you're not suggesting all the media that our VR clients use has to be paid media, are you? I know that I've seen a lot of creative ways people have advertised. Some of it costs next to nothing.
Very good point, Peter. In fact, if your VR clients don't already own a copy of Guerrilla Marketing by J. Conrad Levinson, they should pick up a copy. In it, Jay lists a ton of ways to market your product or service very cost-effectively. I find it to be a great idea starter to make sure I'm not overlooking a potential avenue to higher sales. Here are two ways you can even use your business cards in your marketing efforts. The first is to utilize the space on the back of your business card to advertise the free report that you created during step two. That way, instead of prospects just keeping your card around till it gets thrown out or winds up in a box with a bunch of other cards, you have a card with a benefits-oriented call to action to get people learning about your products and services even before they're in the market for them. If you give speeches or presentations at chamber events and business clubs, you can get other people's cards and quickly grow your contact list by telling your audience at the conclusion of your talk that you have a special report that you'd be happy to send them if they give you their card and write report on the back. This can often get as high as a 60% participation from those who just listened to you.
To review then so far, we've targeted our market, created a message, and chosen our media. What's next?
The next step is one of the most fun for me. It's when you actually launch your multi-hoop marketing system. Remember, the key to attraction marketing is that you're building a system that will attract and qualify those who are interested in the benefits of what you offer. But at this point, they're not necessarily interested in your product or service itself. In other words, no one likes buying life insurance per se, but they might like the financial benefits or the way it makes them feel knowing they're taking care of their family. That said, remember that as we now start to advertise, we're not doing a one-step ad intended to sell our product or service. We're doing a multi-step ad intended to attract respondents who are interested in the benefits. This might take the form of a small classified ad with the title of your report, along with the phone number. Or it could be a postcard mailer that you send to your local chamber members. It could even be a full-page ad in a trade journal. The important thing is that you're not selling your product or service here. You are offering free information. And since the information is indeed valuable and not just a sales pitch, if the space allows, your ad should stress the benefits of receiving your free report. With a good title and subtitle, along with a media placement, either free or paid, where your prospects are already looking, you have the beginnings of a good attraction marketing campaign. In most situations, the title of your information product will be the primary part of your advertisement to cause the potential prospect to make a favorable decision. You will need a way for prospects to contact you in order to request the report. While some would have those calls come in directly to their office, I usually recommend a toll-free voicemail line. The reasons are simple. First, it is most convenient for your prospects to request information when they are available, not when you're available. Second, by putting 24-hour voicemail on your advertisement next to the phone number, you will get a greater response. This is because it's not as threatening to a prospect. They know they'll not get on the phone with a high-pressured salesperson who's going to try and take the request for information and then turn it into an instant sale. The final reason for the voicemail is that it's inexpensive and easy to set up, so you can have multiple lines or extensions, with each one coming in from a different advertisement. That way, you can easily measure your response. You may also offer your prospects the option of requesting your report through your website or an email. In either case, you can set up an email autoresponder to immediately send them the report and notify you of their contact information. If done this way, you can also have two different autoresponder email addresses. For instance, you could have info1@greatidea.com and info2@greatidea.com. This way, once again, you can measure your response. Just a caution, however, that if you're going to set up an autoresponder for the internet, it may be difficult to ever physically mail to this group. For some reason, it's easier to get an email address from someone who responds to an offline direct mailing than it is for an online respondent to give you their street address.
Well, let's say that someone does respond to one of our clients' reports or information product. How do you go about converting them to a sale?
If the person contacts you after reading your booklet, the chances are excellent you have a new customer or client. After all, he or she first had to respond to the advertisement. Then they had to contact you, either directly, through a toll-free recorded message, or through the internet, to receive that booklet or special report. Then they read through it and took the action to call you. They are now what is known as a highly qualified prospect. Remember, though, even when respondents don't call you, you still have their address and hopefully telephone number and or email, so you should put each of your respondents in a database and follow up with additional offers of information to help them make the decision to begin using your product or service. While prospects who receive the information but don't call you are not quite as qualified as those who do call, that's okay. They are definitely more qualified than the ones who didn't even respond to the offer of free information. You have successfully created a fishing pool of individuals who may not yet be sold on your product, but are still interested in the benefits you deliver. By repeatedly following up with this audience over time, you'll turn a good portion of these people into customers and clients as well. From there, after you service them properly and help them obtain the results they want, they will now become huge referral sources for you. For that matter, this might happen even before they become customers or clients, as soon as you develop a relationship where they know you, like you, and trust you.
What drives me a little nuts about a lot of marketing and advertising is the waste. Sometimes it's just really difficult to know where the waste is occurring. In fact, I think it was P.T. Barnum who said that half of all advertising is a waste. The problem is knowing which half. I understand that you really emphasize measuring.
You're absolutely right. I do emphasize measurement, primarily because you can't systematically improve what you don't measure. Therefore, you need to always include a feedback loop in your marketing process to measure results and eliminate as much waste as possible. A key element in building a great profit funnel system is testing. All the mail order greats, people such as Ted Nicholas, Gary Halbert, Melvin Powers, Dan Kennedy, Jay Abraham, stress this constantly in their writings and teachings. My motto is always, test small and roll big.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I simply mean that you should always test an ad in the least costly way possible. Then, when you know that the ads you place are profitable, you can roll out to the much larger universe of prospects. One of the great benefits of this type of direct response marketing is that unlike traditional advertising, the results are totally measurable. One way to do this is by what is known as coding. Let's say you're running an ad in two magazines read by the same niche market readership. cosmetic dentists. One of your magazines is Dentistry Today, and the other is the Journal of Cosmetic Dentistry. Wouldn't you like to know which magazine pulled a better response? Absolutely. So you use coding. To code your ad, simply add a letter or department after your address or extension after your phone number, or even a separate autoresponder email address if the response is online. This is only a basic explanation. As you study the masters in the field, you'll learn more and more ways to measure your responses for lots of different elements of your advertisements and letters.
Now you've got us measuring results. I imagine that you're going to use this information to somehow improve things, correct?
Joanne, I call this part of the system maximization, because I'm taking all those initial measurements and results and working to make them as good as they can be. Now that you've run your advertisement and tracked the results, this becomes what marketing experts call the control. Just as with any scientific experiment, this gives you the power to increase the profitability of your profit funnel system by testing other ads or ad campaigns against this control. These tests can include a change of headline, trying a new publication, using a voicemail line versus having prospects contact your office, your free publication's title, or even graphic considerations like certain fonts or borders. The most important thing, however, is to change only one thing with each test so that the effect of that one thing can be measured. If, for instance, you change both the headline and the color of the background, whether the response rate increased or decreased, you'd have no idea exactly why. By adopting a mindset of continual testing to constantly improve your results, you will ensure that you will continue to get the strongest responses you can and not waste money in the process.
So what type of system do you use to make these improvements consistent on an ongoing basis?
Great question. I've seen people use programs like ACT or Outlook to manage the whole maximization process. They just set alarms and tasks assigned to dates in order to test. As much as I love my laptop and DSL and my pocket PC, I'm pretty low-tech when it comes to this stuff. I like to have the physical papers in my hand, and when I look at numbers on a screen, they all start to look like gibberish to me after a while. I use a plain old tickler file and pads of paper to track the results and schedule the next round of testing. Then I can always enter this data into an Excel spreadsheet if I want to graph the progress.
Is there a magic number as to how often you should be testing new stuff?
There really isn't. Personally, I measure every month, but I only test either quarterly or twice a year, depending on how dynamic and rapidly changing the particular industry is. The more rapidly changing an industry is, the more likely testing a new approach may be profitable.
I imagine there would be a balance you'd want to strike there. Unless it's a big enough company to have marketing managers to do nothing but test and improve, you could make a full-time job out of this. So, Tom, what's the final step in the process?
The final step is simply to maintain your new profit funnel system. This is where the benefit of having a system really shines. Because you've put all this hard work into developing it, you don't need to spend time each month reinventing the wheel. You don't have to spend endless hours chasing leads or advertising to people who aren't even interested enough in your benefits to have requested the free information. Just like with measurement and maximization, put your new profitable system on your calendar. Make it regular and scheduled. You should almost be able to set your watch by when you place your ads and post your mailings. Check your results on a monthly basis to make sure your ads are still working. Challenge yourself to maximize your results by testing at least twice a year. Doing this will keep your system low maintenance, while at the same time ensuring that it stays as profitable as possible.
Well, Tom, that was great. I love bringing VR clients valuable information like this. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our audience with?
I would just want to encourage your VR clients to not be scared off by the sound of all these steps. Even though someone who is trying to position themselves as a guru would want you to think it, this is not rocket science. If you asked me what the most valuable quality a marketer or business owner who wants to market themselves better can have, it's empathy. The ability to really put yourself in your prospect or audience's shoes. In fact, one of the all-time great direct marketers, Dan Kennedy, once taught me to always remember the WIFM, what's in it for me. He would always remind me that people do things for their reasons, not mine. And I really think that the more we can look at our businesses through this filter, the more we will make our marketing messages truly compelling and benefits-driven, and the details of creating a profit funnel system will simply fall into place. If your listeners would like a little more information on putting together a profit funnel system for their business, they can always check out www.profitfunnelsystem.com. There they can sign up for my e-course. It's simply an email that they get 10 days in a row, walking them through the system that they can apply to their businesses.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes, thanks.
You're quite welcome. It was a lot of fun.
This audio white paper has been brought to you by your local VR Mergers and Acquisitions office. Specializing in privately owned and closely held mid-market companies, VR's experienced team of highly trained intermediaries can powerfully represent you throughout a merger, acquisition, or divestiture process. As your advocate, a VR professional intermediary provides a discreet, comprehensive, consultative approach to each and every business transaction that is unrivaled in the mergers and acquisitions industry. Because VR only recruits the most seasoned and experienced professionals and trains them in our proprietary M&A system, you can rely on every VR intermediary and team to bring to you exactly the same level of service and professional resources that a much larger company would receive from the finest top-tier investment bank. We invite you to call the phone number printed on the back of this audio package. Find out for yourself why VR has sold more businesses in North America than anyone, and more importantly, how we can help you.